Certainly thank the Lord for this opportunity we have to worship the Lord together this morning. Appreciate the good singing. Appreciate the song service. Appreciate the prayers been offered up. And we ask that you continue to pray for us what time we stand before you this morning. The task upon us is to look into God's Word and to lead us in the way that the Lord would have us to go. And we certainly beg for the Lord's help, the Lord's blessing and strength and guidance, and ask that you join with me in praying that the Lord would guide us as we look into His Word for a little while this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'd like to direct your attention to a few verses here in Matthew chapter 5. Of course, this is Jesus preaching the sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And if we start here in verse 14 of Matthew 5, he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In these verses here, we read about Jesus making a declaration of his people. You know, a lot of people in the world would say, I've just got to find out who I am. Who am I? Find that out. Well, Jesus just declared who you are here in Matthew 5:14. "Ye are the light of the world." And we didn't read it, but in verse 13, he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Jesus declares to you who you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And so, that being said, I want you to consider what a difference salt makes in this world. Certainly, if you've ever eaten food without salt, you'll understand salt is good. That's what Jesus says. Salt is good. And you are the light of the world. If you've ever been out in the dark, you recognize what a blessing that light is when you're in the dark. But if you remember last Sunday, we were talking about Mount Zion. Mount Zion, the city that the church is a picture of. And when we think about the church and what a blessing the church is in our life, I notice here in Matthew 5:14 that he talks about you are the light of the world in the context of you're a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. I want you to picture that for a moment, that you're in the dark, but you see lights off in the distance up above you. That's the context here. If the world is a cold and dark place, then what a blessing to have light, right? I remember one time I was flying an airplane over Arizona, and there's two big cities in Arizona, Tucson and Phoenix. And I knew when we were over the cities, this was at night, because I could see the lights of the city right there around me. And over there out west, there's not the trees that we have here, and you can actually see a city a long way off when you're driving in the dark. Well, I'll tell you, that's the picture that the Lord paints for us, that we are a city that is set on a hill, Mount Zion, and cannot be hid because we're the light of the world. But what does that mean when he says, "Ye are the light of the world"? How is that, that we are any different from anyone else in the world? I want to point out several things here to explain why the church, in the context here of the church. You know, this Sermon on the Mount was to his disciples. And I believe that what he's referring to in these chapters is a sermon to the church, to his church, his disciples. And so when he says, "Ye are the light of the world," certainly, and we're going to look at this in just a moment, we can see that as us individually. But I believe collectively, when he says here, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid," we as the church are the light of the world. And that's a very important position to be in. First of all, I want to point out that The difference that we have here in the church than anywhere else is that the true light is shining here in this place. And that true light is the Lord Himself. You know, the Lord says, and if you go and read in the book of John, He says it multiple times. He says, I am the light of the world. In fact, I want to go to one place in John chapter 8 where He says this, because it's very, very well said here in John 8 verse 12. It says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now if we look at our natural creation, there is a light of this world, isn't it? That's what the sun is. The reason it's daytime outside is because the sun is shining. Well, Jesus declares Himself to be, in a spiritual sense, the light of the world. I mean, when we say it's like night and day, there's a big difference that this sun makes upon the earth. You know, at night, with the best lights that we could have, we cannot replicate what that sun does for this world, can we? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus, every time you see that sun, you're seeing a picture of Jesus. Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. If you want to listen, you know, each day we should listen to what the heavens are declaring down to us. There's so much beauty and glory above us, but it's declaring something to us. It's declaring the glory of God. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, I want to endeavor to prove that to you this morning, that by following Jesus, you will not walk in darkness, you'll walk in light. And first of all, it's easy to follow the light because he is shining the way for us. But there are several ways that we have light here in this place, in the church. You know, and I want us to always bring it back to the church, because I believe that's the context there in Matthew chapter 5. First of all, here's something that we have here in the house of God that is light. We have the Word of God. The Word of God is declared in Psalm 119:105 as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He describes the Word of God as being a light itself. And so having the Word of God, it shines a light, it's a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. It tells you where you are and where you're going, or where you should go. It tells you the path that you should walk. The Word of God is certainly a light to us in that way. But you know, we have something else in the Word of God. We have the preaching of the gospel. That's what we're endeavoring to do this morning. And the preaching of the gospel, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul says something about this in the 26th chapter of Acts when he was called into question about preaching the gospel. You know, we could suffer a lot worse persecution than we do today. We could be in prison for these things. We could face a lot. The Apostle Paul was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was led away as a prisoner to Rome and had to answer for himself. But Paul declares what God told him here in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, that he was, this is God speaking to Paul, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Notice, the preaching of the gospel is designed to turn people from darkness to light. In fact, that's what he says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, that he hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, the gospel doesn't give life and immortality, but it brings it to light, to understanding, to where you can see. The gospel is designed to be a shining light that shines the way. So far in the church, we are blessed with the light of the world, the Lord Himself, His presence. You know, it says in Psalm 89:15, Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. So, the people who know the joyful sound, the people who meet together and know the joyful sound, they walk in the light of the Lord's countenance. They have the light of the world with them. But we also have the Word of God. And I'm thankful that we can have this in our homes. I was recently approached by someone that said, I hear that you old Baptists don't believe in people having their Bibles at home. I said, who told you that? We all need the Bibles in our home. We need to be reading the Bible in our home and studying the Bible. This is a light in the midst of a dark world. You know, the world is full of darkness because the devil himself is there, and he's trying to blind our minds and confuse us and lead us away. And there's many tools that he has to do that. But our warfare against him, we have a wonderful weapon, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God is a light that shines in a dark place. And we're so thankful the Lord has provided that to us. You know, he could have saved us from our sins, and he could have went back to heaven and never told us about it. But he did. He left us his word. His word tells us all the wonderful things that he has done for us, and also tells us how to live and the things that are true and are right and what is not. And so the Apostle Paul says in his preaching the gospel, he was attempting to turn them from darkness to light. But let's talk about something else. We have something inside of us. Inside of us that is such a great blessing. I'd like to direct your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Apostle Paul again here in this 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about something that you have dwelling inside of you. You know, when we are born into this world, we are by nature depraved sinners, children of wrath, even as others. That's the way the Bible describes it. We are born into this world in darkness, I would say, in darkness. But it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he has called us from darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I believe when we are born again and we go from being dead in trespasses and sins to alive in Jesus Christ, that's a darkness to light that God does in calling with his powerful voice. But notice how he describes it here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now notice what he says here. He takes us back to creation. And he says, God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know, that's what he did in Genesis 1, verse 3. Such an amazing verse in the beginning of creation. It says, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, that's power in that voice that can speak, and it's done. He said, "Let there be light." He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, we're not capable of doing that. We can shine light into darkness to light the way. But God commanded light to shine out of darkness. That is incredible power. But what does he say here in verse 6? God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. He did that very same thing that he did in creation in a powerful, natural way. In us being born again, he has shined in our hearts. Now here's how I want us to picture that in our mind. Bible says when you are born again, God sends forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Okay? So the Spirit of the Son of God is in your heart, crying, "Abba, Father." Now, who is the Son of God? He's the light of the world. And where does He dwell? In your heart. The very fact that we have light inside of us is because the Son of God dwells in our heart. That's how we have light inside of us. God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 7. But we have this treasure. What's the treasure? That light inside of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here's a picture of us. Imagine a clay pot. It has a light inside of it. Now, a clay pot actually blocks the light, doesn't it? Keeps the light from shining. But if you can break up that clay, I'll just say it that way, break up that clay, and sometimes it's not us breaking up, sometimes we take a hit. You know, we mentioned Brother Ricky Myers and his family for prayer. I was thankful I had an opportunity to go up there and see him in the ICU at UMMC yesterday. And, you know, they've been through a lot. He's been in that hospital for 25 days. And Sister Paula, I tell you, she is putting on a clinic of how to deal with something like that. I mean, she stays positive. She's always quoting the Bible. She's always encouraging Brother Ricky. She's just, praising the doctors and nurses. I mean, just incredible that she's going through so much, and yet she's conducting herself in a way that I would say glorifies God. You know, we can't avoid difficult things in our life, but whatever our conduct is and what it should be, it should glorify God. And when we take a hit, our earthen vessel takes a hit, that crack, that hole simply lets more light come out. You see how that works? Now I trust all of us we don't want to go through affliction. We don't want to suffer. But that song we sang this morning, "It Is Well With My Soul," was written by a man who had lost his children out on the ocean. I mean, just difficult circumstances. And yet, now we have a song that we are still singing today and rejoice in and draw comfort from. That it is well with our soul no matter what the circumstances are, it is well. And I'll tell you, that light that shines out of us, you know, if we really are going to do Jesus' command of being the light of the world and letting our light so shine, we have to get this flesh out of the way. Our flesh hinders that light from shining. But that light is inside of us. So we have here in the church of God, we have the Lord as the light of the world. We have the Word of God as a light that shines and lights the way. We have the people of God who have the light inside of them. You know, and I'll tell you how important that is. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Notice what it says here. The people of God having the light inside of them leads to something. What did Jesus say? He says, "He that followeth me shall not be in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In John 1 verse 4 it says, "In him," in Jesus, "is life, and the life is the light of men." That life that is inside of Jesus is the light of men. There's light because of that life. But the child of God who's born again and has light inside of him, the Son of God dwelling in his heart, and following the Lord, notice what it says here in Proverbs 4, verse 18. It says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Now he says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The very path that you good people walk is a light. It's a shining light. It's a blessing to all those that are in the world. You know, I think it's important for us to point out that it would be very tempting for us to want to go off and live in an island somewhere, away from everything, and just try to focus on the Lord and these things. But God has not called us to do that. God's called us to live in the world and be a light of the world. What does he say? "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We're not called to shelter in place and stay away from everybody. We're called to live in the world and let our light so shine. That's what the Lord would have us to do. And the light that we shine is a path. It's a shining light. And your path this morning has led you to the house of God. And if people see your path and see the path that you're walking, that's a light to them. Someone living in the cold, dark world and needing direction, needing guidance, ought to be able to follow our path that leads to the house of God, leads to the people of God, and what a blessing that is. Here in the house of God, we have the path of the just. There's something else. If you turn me to Romans chapter 13, the people of God, following the Lord, walking on that path that is well lit, well marked, these people have light inside of them. But you know what they also should have, what we should have? I want you to notice what he says here in verse Romans 13, verse 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." and let us put on the armor of light. Now notice what he says here. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on what? The armor of light. Armor of light. Light on the inside, but we need light on the outside. So what does that mean? Well, it's very important that we understand, Ephesians 6, he tells us this, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And he says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. People are not our enemies. It's very easy for us to look at a person as our enemy, but the people are not the ones who are our enemies. He says, we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so then what does he tell us to do? Put on the whole armor of God. The armor of God is what he tells us in Ephesians 6. Put on the armor of God. We're talking about the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, all those things that he lists there. He calls it here in Romans 13:12, the armor of light. When you put that armor on, there is a light that comes from shining from that armor that you put on and walking after the Lord. So this place, the light of the world, city set on a hill that cannot be hid. That light, that source of that light is Jesus, the light of the world. The source of that light is the Word of God that should be here in this place, believed and followed and taught. The light that dwells in our heart, Jesus dwelling in our hearts. The path that we walk, the path of the just, the armor that we put on. This is all very important, especially as we consider what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells them to be followers of him and not followers of the world. And he tells us this in Ephesians 5, verse 8. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So, we hear this, we were darkness. It's very important we know where we came from. That song we sang, Amazing Grace, it details someone's feeling who has been saved by God's amazing grace. Think about where we were in darkness, dead in trespasses and sins. And where were we headed? We were headed to suffer eternity in hell where there is no relief. That's where we were. But by God's amazing grace, He has called us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are now children of light. We are light. We are now, we've always been His children, but now are ye light in the Lord. And He says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. That's the instruction to us, to walk as children of light. He says further down in a few more verses, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. He tells us don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but what are you rather supposed to do? Reprove them. Stand against them. Speak out against them. And do what he says here, have no fellowship. You know, that's a great blessing that we have in the church and among the Lord's people. We have fellowship here, and that's what they said in Acts chapter 2. They continued in the apostles' fellowship and in breaking of bread and of prayers. And that's what we have here. What a blessing we have in the church. But don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So I hope with all that you can see, we are the light of the world. God has blessed us with the light. He's called us to let that light shine. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither, this is back in Matthew 5. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now he said, when you light a candle, you don't put it under a bed, under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick, for there will be light in the whole house. If your lights have ever gone out at night, and you'll know it's very important to have a light that is in a place that is shining for all to see and to keep from stumbling and to be able to see what you're doing and what you're needing. That light is such a great blessing. Well, he tells us that we wouldn't do that in the natural sense. We wouldn't light a candle and then hide it We would light a candle and put on a candlestick for the light to bless everything, right? Well, it's interesting to me that he has told us that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You know, those two things are really a support, are really a support role. You know, a salt, all it does is help the food. Light is not intended to call attention to itself. It's called attention to what it's shining upon. And oh, what a blessing when the people of God shine that light so that God gets the glory. Others may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So he tells us that we are to light the light, not put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. You know, that's an interesting concept, putting our light on a candlestick. You know what the Lord calls the church? What makes the church the church? What's the difference between us just gathering together here as just a social gathering and us actually being a church? What's the difference? Well, the difference is the candlestick. That's what makes all the difference. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, he talks about the seven golden candlesticks. And when it's explained to John what those seven golden candlesticks are, he says those are the seven churches of Asia. What the blessing of what the church has is the candlestick. In the holy place of the tabernacle, there was only three things there, and there was no natural light. It was completely surrounded. It was dark. Except there is a candlestick that was always burning, always shining. That was the source of the light. As soon as the candlestick leaves, the church is no longer the church. It's a cold, dark place. And that's not a place that we want to be. But here's the point of all that. If you're going to light a candle, if you're the light of the world, the proper place for you to be is in the church. In the church. The church is a public assembly, a public calling. And when you join the church, you are making a public profession of faith. You are baptized and you are publicly declaring that I'm going to follow the Lord and my life from here on out is going to be directly tied to the Lord and to His church. Whatever I say or do will bring a reflection on the church, whether that's good or whether that's bad. But that is where the light is intended to be. That's where it's designed to be. And notice what it does. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. What a blessing. When God's church members, when God's people, His disciples, let their light so shine, and we all are blessed with that. We all benefit from that. We all can rejoice in that light. Because if you're letting your light shine, and I'm letting mine, and we are all letting our light shine, that's a lot of light that we have here in the house. Of course, we're talking about spiritual things, a spiritual understanding of things that sometimes we go through difficult seasons in our life and we need help. But if everyone's letting their light shine, you never know when you have the right words for the right time for the right person that greatly rejoices in that light that the Lord has given to you. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men. You know, sometimes the smallest words are the most important. You know, this word, so, S-O, that's the important word in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine. How should our light be shining? It should be shining bright, not dim and flickering, but let your light so shine that others may see, that they may see your good works. Now, I want to take a minute just to mention here that the point of us living godly lives and living close to the Lord is not to call attention to ourselves. God is not designed for us to go around sounding a trumpet in front of us and every time we do something good, we want everyone to know about it. God hasn't called us to do that. In fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 6, he mentions three things that we're supposed to be doing in private that no one knows about. We're supposed to be praying, fasting, and giving alms. But we don't tell anyone else about this. But that's not what Matthew 5:16 says. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That's public. That's someone seeing you, seeing what you do. And here's what I'd like for you to picture this as. You know, an iceberg that sticks above the ocean, there's more to that iceberg below the ocean than there is that you can see. Most of the iceberg is below You know, when they say the tip of the iceberg, you know, that's saying that's just a small part of what you really have. The child of God's life in walking close to the Lord, most of what you do and serving the Lord should be in private between you and the Lord. Praying, reading your Bible, studying your Bible, giving alms, whatever the case may be. Most of that should be private. But there's a part of us that is public. That's just going to naturally spill into the public. When you live and your heart is a certain way in private, it's going to spill out into the public. And so he says that others may see your good works because your light is so shining. What keeps a light shining? What keeps a fire burning? A fuel source, right? You've got to have some kind of a fuel source in order for the fire to keep burning. And so what motivates the child of God and what would cause their light to shine brighter? You know, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ constrains us, constraineth us. What motivated the Apostle Paul? What kept him going? What drove him forward? It was the love of Christ. If you stop and consider just how much the Lord loved us, oh, it would cause you to want to serve Him more. It would cause your fire to burn brighter. There's something else that we have, and that is hope. You know, hope is an expectation of something in the future. You know, we have a wonderful hope this morning. We have a hope that one day we're going to live in heaven with the Lord for all eternity. Isn't that a wonderful hope? That we have that to look forward to, that we have that in front of us, and that motivates the child of God to keep going. You know, life is difficult. Life has its struggles. Life has its up and downs. But knowing that a better future awaits you, oh, and it's not even to be compared with what we're dealing with right now. That hope is also a motivation that keeps your fire burning bright. But there's one other thing that I want to mention. There's many more we could say about that. And that's encouragement. You know, anytime someone encourages you, they're throwing another log on your fire. That's why we need the church. You know, I know some people say, oh, well, I can worship the Lord fine somewhere else. I'm going to tell you why we need the church, why we need each other. We need that encouragement. We need that blessing of fellowship that we have together so that our light will so shine and be bright. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Remember, the point of the light is not to call attention to itself, but to shine on something else. Our good works, our light, should be shining upon the Lord and what He has done. You know, some stories stick with you and you have a hard time forgetting them. I heard about this man that he and his wife were struggling financially. And so he decided, I'm going to try and save a little money and I'm going to go to work and I'm not going to eat lunch. And I'll save the money and not going to eat lunch. Well, he does that. And long about lunchtime, one of his coworkers shows up and says, hey, I brought you lunch. He said, wait, why did you do that? So I actually didn't bring lunch. Well, why did you bring me lunch? He says, I don't know. Something was just telling me to. You know, he as a result of that, although he is appreciative of what she did, you know who he glorified? He glorified God, who sent that person at that time to help him out in that way. That's why it says they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Because if we are sensitive and in tune to how the Spirit is directing us and speaking to us, and we go and do what the Lord tells us to do, whether we understand it or not, we do what the Lord tells us to do, then others will give glory to God because there's something between them and the Lord that you knew nothing about, but they knew and the Lord knew. I tell you, it's a great blessing for us to think about the position that the Lord has put us in. He has not left us comfortless. He has left us this great place where we can experience this light. You know, we say, well, there's a lot of people not coming to church. You know, I've thought about that too. You know, the Bible talks about in James 3 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, if someone's doing wrong, they're not going to want to come near the light. They're going to stay in darkness. Stay away. Stay in recesses. But you know, I think it's important for all of us to recognize that we are all sinners in need of forgiveness. And our, you know, I've always heard something about Primitive Baptists. They need to have short memories and long arms. Let things go, but always have an arm to love and help those who are struggling and need of help. And so it's a great blessing that the Lord has left us His church and has called us to be the light of the world. If we're wondering who we are, He's told us exactly who we are in these verses that we have read. And my exhortation to all of us this morning, me, myself included, is for us to let our light so shine before men and that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I thank you for your good attention this morning.